And as we go through this, please check that, right? The things that you're supposed to touch or touch not. Anyway, we're going to see that the point of this law was God was defining distinction. All right, this was the way they were supposed to practically be different from all the other nations. So we're going to see the things that are supposed to eat and not eat, touch or not touch, and how they were supposed to keep their community clean and free from communicable diseases. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for an opportunity to gather again. Thank you so much that your word is going to wash us. It's going to sanctify us, set us apart for yourself. Your word is going to show us who you are, your holiness, your glory, your majesty, your power. Your word is going to show us your will, your mind, and the things that you think and would like to align our thinking with yours. So help us, teach us, and lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verses 1 to 8, Leviticus 11. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud and does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. So an animal that has divided hooves, chews the cud, couldn't be eaten except for the camel, the hyrax, the hare. And then there are those like pigs, divided hoof, but does not chew the cud. It is unclean. No touching it, no eating it, no raising them among your community. Unclean, keep away from them. The clean ones you can enjoy. In verses 9 to 12, the water animals, water creatures, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever is in the water that has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. So the water sea creatures, they have to have scales and they have to have fins. But all in the seas or in the dry rivers, not dry rivers, rivers that do not have fins or scales, or that move in the water or have or any other living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. Again, that is said twice. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water which does not have fins and scales, that shall be an abomination to you. So think about all the water or sea creatures that don't have fins and don't have scales. Things like the shellfish, clams, crabs, oysters. I've always thought there's something creepy about those oysters. Lobsters, catfish. But the catfish is very delicious. It doesn't have scales, but it has fins. I love the people who are fascinated, who enjoy seafood. Some even eat seaweed. Have you heard about seaweed? How about the birds? In verses 13 to 19, and these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are all an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich. Why would it be somebody trying to eat an ostrich? Things like my height. How would you slaughter it? Short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawks, the little owl, the fishing owl, screech owl, the white owl, lots of species of owls, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the stork, heron, after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. So for the birds, anything that is a predator or a scavenger, we call them vultures, don't eat them, because these birds actually eat flesh. They are carnivorous, so don't eat them. And obviously there are others like the, you know, the seagull, the hawk, the bats. Actually, bats have an infection that are almost incurable. There are some people who have got infections from even the, you know, the bat poo, and it's terrible. Verse 20 to 23, insects. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat. Of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth, these you may eat. The locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind. Some of you are laughing. The cricket. We enjoyed crickets when we were little. Would dig them out of the ground and wrap them like luombo, wrap them with banana leaves and roast them and steam them. So delicious. I miss those crickets. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. So, insane eaters, you are clean. And then some animals. Verses 24 to 28. By these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not does not have cloven hooves or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean, and whatever goes on its paws, among all the kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Cats are unclean. Nobody saying anything about it? Those cats. Whoever touches them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. So animals that are unclean and they happen to be dead within the community of God's people, a lot of care is supposed to be taken in making sure that the carcass is not touched. They're supposed to maybe use pads and hoes and put it on like a piece of hide, wrap it around, and then take it out of the community of God's people. And the people who do that are supposed to be unclean. They're supposed to bathe and be out of the community of God's people until evening. So if this happened in the morning, and the people took care of it, buried it, they're supposed to get out of the community, stay out until evening. Verses 29 to 30, some reptiles are mentioned in here. And these also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, the large lizard. I know somebody who has a hatred for lizards. You're very clean. It's unclean. The gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, the chameleon. Unclean. Then some more there in verse 31, these are unclean to you among all the that creep. Whoever touches them, when they are dead, shall be unclean until evening. Anything to which any of them falls, when they are dead, shall be unclean. Whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean, and any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean. And everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean. whether it's an oven, cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall never, they should never be touched, they are unclean to you. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern in which there is there's plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, if a part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. So dead animals and their carcasses, if falls on a pot, falls on a plate, so much strict hygiene has to be observed so that no infection is received from such. If it was a pot, it's breakable. Break it to pieces and throw it away. It's completely unclean. Verse 39, and if any animal which you have, you may eat rather, dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing, there in verse 41, that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on its fours, and whatever has many feet among creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with a creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves. And this is the purpose of these eats and don't eats and clean and unclean, that you shall be consecrated to the Lord, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be therefore holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals, the birds, and every living creature that moves in the waters, and every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the clean and unclean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. So things like monkeys and baboons and all those things are not supposed to be eaten. Now, interestingly, some of these animals are known to have disastrous diseases and plagues that have, in many places, been so hard to treat. I think the Zika virus is from some breed of monkeys. You know, Ebola is associated with some monkeys, and I'm told they are a delicacy in parts where Ebola plagues break out. So in regard to what to eat and what not to eat, God cares about the health of the people. Interestingly, that I think 60% of the diseases that we suffer today are called lifestyle diseases and disorders. People either eat the things they're not supposed to eat, or they eat too much, they eat more than they're supposed to eat, or they eat less of what they're supposed to eat, healthy foods, or they just don't care about what they eat. God wants his people healthy. He wants us healthy. And if you have an eating disorder, can you please come talk to the priest? We'll give you some counsel on eating. There's actually a nutritionist who comes to our church who can give you a lot of counsel. But the point is this. This was a way that they were supposed to be separated to the Lord. And the purpose is given because of his holiness and because he's the one who took them out of Egypt and is now taking them home. So God has all the rights to dictate what they're supposed to eat and not eat. And this was to protect them from dangerous insects, from bad food, and from communicable diseases. Now, obviously, there are those who took it too seriously, and they built almost a form of religion from it among God's people later on down the road. And such are addressed in Mark chapter 7. If you don't mind flipping to Mark chapter 7 quickly. So there was this argument among the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people who strictly followed this particular law. And they saw some disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, and they found fault. So obviously, it is hygienic to wash your hands before you eat. Well, they took it further than that. They had to wash in a special way. It's not just washing hands and then eating. The washing of hands was in itself had become a procedure of enjoying a meal. And they were offended because these guys just took some bread and they ate. And they're quoting the law of unclean and unclean. That, hey, Jesus, your disciples have just eaten bread without washing their hands. They're unclean. Well, what does Jesus answer them? He answered Mark chapter 7, verse 6, and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. They had built a religious lifestyle out of just washing and not washing, out of eating and not eating. And Jesus tells them this, look here. You want to observe only certain parts of the law, and then you want to neglect some. You know people like that? They only take certain scriptures very seriously. And then the others, they neglect. All scripture is one. And for these people, they were just honoring God with the physical. Their hearts were far from him. They were thinking, okay, God told us to wash our hands, so let's wash our hands. But when God says, I want your heart, they say, no, God, you cannot have a heart, but it's okay, we will wash our hands. They honor him with their lips, but not with everything about their life. They are called legalists. They will emphasize all the minors in scripture and neglect all the majors. They'll dictate on how you're supposed to dress and the places that you're not supposed to go to, but they will neglect the holiness of God and his worship that flows from a pure heart. So regarding food, Jesus would clarify, the point is this. If you want to honor God, then you have to honor him throughout, not just by certain bits of the law. Now, obviously, regarding food, the point of this law was to help them eat well through the desert. It's going to be a long journey. They don't even know it. This is going to be maybe 37 more years. I've only covered a small bit of the journey. They have a long way ahead. They're going to literally be dying in the wilderness. So God wanted them clean throughout the journey. Now, if you go camping and you're in a desert, you have to really observe your hygiene because you may get infected by so many diseases. You have to almost do a portable toilet or, you know, dig a pit or something like that. So this was the environment they were living in, and God wanted them clean, healthy through the journey. Now, failure to observe this cleanliness meant stepping out of the community until evening, Your clothes are dry, your hands are dry, and then you come back. This wasn't cleansing yourself by animal sacrifices. This wasn't, we can say, really spiritual. It was just physical dieting, but obviously in honor to the Lord. But they built out a religious tradition out of it. Well, we thought the team there just talked about rethink. We can end up building traditions of men in our churches, in our lifestyles, rather than obeying the pure and true word of God. And in some churches, they have established so many traditions and they're completely meaningless. It's men who instituted these things. Completely useless, spiritually useless. But these guys hold on to these things like, man, this is going to take me to heaven. If I wash my hands very well, if I do not eat pork, I'm going to go to heaven. No. You need a spiritual bath, not just a physical bath. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is now the New Testament in Timothy's day, in Paul's day, and it is still an issue. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing needs to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So there are those, Timothy writes about, who would try to portray their holiness by not marrying. Like, oh, for you to be holy, please don't marry. Now we see some ugly stories coming out from all over the world from these groups. They tell them, oh, to really be holy, don't marry. But these are the very people that have abused millions of children in the confines of their churches. Is that holiness? No, it's not. Oh, to be holy, don't eat that food. Jesus says it's not what goes in your stomach that makes you unclean. It may make you sick, or it may make you fat, or make you small. But that has very little to do with your holiness before the Lord. That's just a meal. So we should not be exalting certain meals above others. No food can make you holy. And no food can make you unholy. And you have your preferences. Obviously, there are some. Obviously, they are so weird. But this is interesting that one culture regards snails crazy, right? Like, oh man, I was told of, you know, the Moroccans, they cook snails like beans, right? It's a pan of snails. All of you are like, ah, snails, you kick them out of any side, right? But for them, like, this is delicious. There are some, obviously, seafood is mentioned here. Stories of some people from Asia eating donkeys and eating you're like, you guys, you're so weird, eating dogs and all these things. Anyway, God makes it clear, everything that is created was good, and it's edible, but don't make it a religious tradition. Don't think it's going to make you holy. It's not. You can abstain from certain foods, and that's no big deal. You can eat some foods, that should not be a big deal. Everything should be received with thanksgiving, because God made them and is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So whatever is put before you, pray and eat. Don't even ask. In fact, later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul would instruct, for consciousness' sake, when you are served any food, please do not ask what it is. Just eat. When I was in Bible college, some students who went to Central African Republic, and they were served a delicious meal. It so happens that there were edible rats, really big. They told them way later. They did not eat anything else until the end of the trip. just look at it, and if you don't want to eat it, just don't eat it, right? Don't ask, so what is that? Don't. And in Romans chapter 14, verses 19 to 21, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So this is the principle of avoiding anything, avoiding eating anything that is considered offensive by a brother who's weaker or younger or from a different culture. So let's say they're Muslims and they got saved. Obviously, they have mixed feelings about eating pork. Don't serve them pork, right? Just keep away the pork. You can serve them beef. And don't try to convince them that, you know what? You don't even know what you're missing, brother. This is the most delicious food on earth. It is tumbling to them. So when I travel, I stick to chicken. A lot of people eat a lot of weird things. I'm like, oh, I'll stick to chicken. I'm not going to try any snails or any sushi or any crabs or oysters. I'll keep away from them. I don't need them. A friend went to Singapore. It was a sports trip. And they have these huge cans of fish, different types of seafood. And he pointed at one, like, I want that one. So they pulled it out and prepared it for him. He ate it. And they woke up the next day in hospital and their team had left him. And he's like, hey, what happened? It's the fish you ate. It's actually poisonous. And your immune system was weak, so it knocked you off for a few hours. Your friends left. You missed your flight. We'll put you on the next one a day from now when you're strong enough. I'm not a very adventurous eater, so I'm not going to collapse in Singapore because I pointed at a poisonous fish. I'm not even going to try that. But the point is this, don't try to stumble somebody to think that they're going to be more godly by food. Or because you eat some food, you're forcing them to eat it. Respect their choices and don't stumble anybody. In fact, the Bible says here, don't destroy the work of God in them just for the sake of food. So if you go to a certain place and you're served, and this is actually in some cultures, the highest hospitality they will give, they'll serve you the head of the chicken. And it's there with its eyes either open or closed, I don't know. Are you going to sanctify it with a word and prayer and receive with thanksgiving? Or are you going to say, I prefer the the drumsticks. Thank you so much for your hospitality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make the brother stumble. So in dieting, we believers, obviously we're supposed to observe cleanliness and hygiene. I think in South Africa last year, because of poor hygiene in handling beef, so many restaurants were actually a place of breeding communicable diseases. And lots of people were infected by, you know, some viruses and bacteria that was in beef. Some of them had to be closed. In food, keep hygienic. In your community, keep clean. And that is still a struggle in so many places in the world. Just keeping clean and managing waste and managing trash and, you know, managing cleanliness and hygiene. If you don't observe those things, there are so many infections that can flow from flies and from cockroaches and from lizards and from all these creepy things that are unclean. But most importantly, with food, don't try to stumble someone else with something they do not eat. So the veggie, any vegans here, vegetarians, don't think we are weaker because we eat meat. And don't think you're stronger because you eat vegetables. We are all the same before the Lord. But a vegetarian should not think that, let me try to get you being a vegetarian so that you can become holy and healthy. Some bodies are not meant for vegetables only. Oh, the meat eaters should not be thinking of the vegans like, ah, you guys are missing out on so much. Obviously, they may miss out. But if the choice they have made, we're supposed to respect it. If you go to a place and they don't eat certain things that you eat, it's okay. And you are your stay there. And then when you go back home, you can enjoy all that you enjoy. And if even eating meat, Paul says, offends somebody, a brother or a sister, I'm going to keep away from it. If you go to a culture and they think it's offensive or it's unholy or it's unclean, eating certain things that you eat, please keep away from those things for a little while until you go home, because it's going to hinder your ministry to them. They're going to look at you like you are offensive and they won't receive from you. And this calls for a lot of sensitivity in the way we live, especially among people who live and eat and sleep differently. You go to places and everything is different. And for you, you're used to your jeans and t-shirts. When the missionaries from, I forget the organization, Church Mission Society, I think, went to China, they still dressed up in their traditional style in the 1800s. The long robes and the straw hats that are like, you know, they're like baskets. So the way they had to dress up was exactly that way so they would be accepted among the Chinese and they were able to preach. So they had to leave all their European clothes at home. And when they go to China, they buy Chinese clothes and they look Chinese so they were able to be received among the Chinese and they preached the gospel to them and they got saved. And they had to eat like Chinese. So when you go to China, try to learn how to use chopsticks. Eating rice and spaghetti with chopsticks. It will take you hours, but you'll finish your plate. But this is cultural sensitivity here that we are learning. If there's anything in your culture that is offensive to another culture that you're ministering to, you keep away from those things until you go back home. Because those things stumble them from receiving the truth. And tell you what, all of us want to be effective in everything we do. If you go to Congo, for example, in some places they eat snakes, right? You're going to be like, okay, how do I survive here among snakes and monkeys? Will you have to carry your chicken? Maybe, but I'm sure there are goats and cows there. So you're like, okay, guys, those snakes, I know they're delicious, but I'll keep away from them. I'll stick to vegetables and goats and chicken, and I'll be okay. God cares about our diet and our health, and we should observe. It's a story of a pastor going out to eat, and all of them decided, oh, let's go eat junk food, chips and all these burgers and pizzas. And one of them is like, oh, let's pray the food you serve. And so one of them said, no way. We cannot pray for this. God is not going to bless junk food, is he? This is dangerous for our health. Don't even waste your time praying. Let's just eat. God cares about what we should eat. And he wants us to remain clean. And thirdly, he does not want us to stumble anybody just because of a meal. All right? That's the end of the lesson today. Let's stand and pray. Is one about food, right? Well, there are more coming in chapters 12 and 13. And we're actually going to take a very short time in Leviticus. So very practical. From this point on, it's very practical ways of handling cleanliness and uncleanliness. And this is all because these are God's people. They have to listen. They have to obey. They have to keep holy. Let's pray. Lord, we want to pray that you give us good health. Give us good dietary practices. Lord, you've given us so much food to enjoy. There are some that are poisonous. There are some that obviously we have to keep away from. And then there are those, because of preference, we enjoy them, and that should not be an issue, or that should not be a reason we stumble others from receiving your word from us. or that should not be a reason we offend others because they are your children. So I pray, Lord, that you may help us be sensitive to all cultures. Pray that you may help us be respectful, even in regard to everything in cultures that are different from us, because we know that you made us all equal, but we're different, and that's the beauty of your creation. Lord, I ask that you may provide for our food, give us this day our daily bread. And be thankful for all that food that you've given us in this country. Lord, we pray that you may provide for those who lack, those around the world who are still struggling with famine and lack of food and water. There are those who are sick because of these communicable diseases. There are those who are maybe still practicing things that are dangerous to their health, even in regard to diet. God, may you heal, may you redeem, may you restore. May you bless us all, and just let me pray.